We are one. Wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever our background, our ideas of who we are, our ethnicities, our individual characteristics, of which we are quite proud and should be as we find joy in loving ourselves and loving one another. All of that oneness, all of those individual experiences are celebrated and honored here in this center by the folks here in this center, by each of us. We're here to thank you for being here. We're here to say we're glad you're here. We trust that today you will find some good ideas that will serve you well. You know, for many years now, this center has been reading, not always out loud, but together on our program, the following vision statement. We are a strong, open, globally connected community centered on the clarity of principle. Through teaching, service, and practice, we create a safe and respectful environment that supports healthy spiritual growth. Since this slowdown of the, or pause, I guess some people are calling it, in the world action and activity, and we've all taken a step back and had more time for some of us at least, in the quietness of our homes, we have become more globally connected than ever before. We have folks on this call from all over the country. We have folks who are listening on Facebook from an even wider range of the world. So it's very exciting to me to realize that this declaration we have been making for the 8 years that this community has been in existence, that it is now being realized in an even greater way than it has been before. So thank you for being here and being part of it. We honor you, we respect you, and we celebrate who you are and your individual selves. So who we are is also defined partly by what we believe. And you'll find this on the screen now next to me, or in front of me probably. And I'd like to read this to you as we share it together. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. So it is. So with that thought, with those thoughts, I'll come back to that a little later this morning as we talk about we are. But each week we have one of our practitioners. This is someone who has trained in this teaching, who knows how to use spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer for himself and for others. He has demonstrated that in successful work with folks. And in so doing, our international organization, Centers for Spiritual Living, has granted him a license to continue this practice. So I'm very pleased to introduce to you the long time and former now board member and certainly continued leader of Center for Spiritual Living, Mr. Lee Huffman. Take it away, Lee.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Yes. It's good to be connected to everyone here through this virtual environment. It's interesting. It came up a few minutes ago, but I got up a little bit late a couple of weeks ago, and we used to say, gosh, I got to drive all the way to town. I got to, you know, put on my suit and my tie and do all this. I like Bob's tie today, by the way. And, you know, it used to be a rush to get up in the morning, and week before last, I was relaxing a little bit longer than when I should have, so I got into the rush, and I thought, boy, I need to get a shower, and I need to put on a shirt before going to church. And that's... I'll just leave that with you. we don't have to do the things that we used to do. And but it's just interesting how times have changed, and yet the community that we have is still here. And the love that we have for each other is still here, and we're still connected, and even connecting further, as Bob said, around the world. There's so many things that I could talk about today. I, most of you know that I'm sort of a training junkie, and that's how I ended up becoming a practitioner, was because I was taking all the training that was available. And so I started down the practitioner training, and I just loved the training so much. And then I realized that I was a practitioner, just like all of you are practitioners. Anybody is practicing in their own life and making things happen. So I decided I'd go ahead and get my license, and I've enjoyed that since 2014 or so. And, but as I look at the things that I have gone through the last couple of weeks and look for things to bring to this community, I want to go into a class that I touched on called Be Extraordinary. And it's 30 days. It's only 20 or 30 minutes a day. It's an online class, and they break things down so well, just like what Bob's going to do in a class that's coming up soon. And, on day 9, they talked about practicing gratitude. And when you practice gratitude, gratitude has the highest correlation between a person's well-being and anything else that you can do. If you're grateful, then you have all kinds of benefits. You have a higher energy level. You have a more feeling of being socially connected. You have improved sleep, which I could definitely use. People have fewer headaches. They have a higher emotional intelligence quotient, and just more forgiving, less depression, less anxiety. There's all kinds of benefits of sharing gratitude. And what this speaker talked about was setting a time. Is it going to be first thing in the morning, or is it going to be, you know, last thing at night? And take 10 minutes, 5 minutes even, and think about what you're grateful for that day or for the last day. And three areas that they talked about was personal life, your career, and yourself. How's your health? You know, how's your house? How's your things around you? And so I just want to bring that to us. When we do a spiritual mind treatment like I'm about to go into, one part of it that most practitioners use is a part called gratitude, where you give gratitude for what you have in your life. And so when we're doing a spiritual mind treatment as a practitioner, we are actually doing an affirmative prayer. And we are treating our mind, because our mind is part of the greater mind and the mind of God, and your mind is as well. So as we come together and work with someone, then we look at what is, can we do in our minds? Because as we spoke a few minutes ago, all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. By a spiritual mind treatment, a practitioner can help you focus your time, focus your mind on what you desire and what you want out of life. And so it is an amazing thing. I know that I've done that, and I've had some amazing things come up, especially recently in my life. So I'd like to ask you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. Let's just relax a bit, uncross your legs. Don't get too relaxed because you're at home. You may fall asleep, but get relaxed enough and clear your mind. And let's get in the moment of now, this time that we're together. And know these things with me. If there's something here that I say that doesn't connect with you, let it go. But if there's anything that does connect with you, take it with you right now and say it in your mind. I know that all thought is creative. I know that how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I know that there is just one God, one creator of all that there is. I know that that God is connected to every one of us because it created us out of itself. I know that when I give gratitude to the universe, I am focused on good things coming back to me, returning to my life, including good things like this community, which continues to be there for me. I know that everything that I am grateful for will come to me more and more because I show gratitude. So I'm thankful for that, and I know it's coming to me, and nothing can get in the way of my attracting more things to be grateful for. I know that every moment of every day is a chance to focus on the positive things in my life, and that will bring more positive things to me. So I release these words knowing that when I give gratitude, that more things to be grateful about will come into my life. And together we say, and so it is. Take a deep breath now and come back to the session.
Thank you, Lee, for that reminder. Gratitude is an amazing practice for all of us. So today the title of the talk is We Are blank, 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 blank. So I thought rather than me talking the entire time, I would invite some of our leaders to speak up and answer the question, who are we, both as people, as a community, and as an organization? And the first one up to talk with us just a moment or two about that is Karen Childs. She's a board member, a longtime participant in this wonderful teaching. And Karen, you can unmute yourself because you have the freedom to do that. Yeah. There you go.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. When Bob asked me to participate in this segment of the program, the first thing that came to my mind was what a huge question that is. It's a big ask. So I tried to narrow it down, this question of who are we? And the answer, as I said, can come in many forms. But it depends on who it's coming from. The Center for Spiritual Living Entity has appropriately crafted a mission and a vision perspective of the answer to this. So I'd like to share with you this who we are question from a personal perspective. I was raised Catholic and continually confused about how there could be a loving God that dispensed favors and punishment randomly, and why I felt only the guilt, fear, and shame of that religion, not the loving part. I left the church. Decades later, I was invited to a Center for Spiritual Living Sunday celebration and have spent every day since incorporating this teaching into my life. Wow, how can that be? What did I feel then? What do I feel now? So here's the question, who are we? The common threads among us in this teaching are many, but basically we accept that there is a highest power, God, if you choose to use that name, is not separate from us. Rather, this highest power is actually inside each of us, in our subconscious mind, that we are empowered to choose the life we want, and that how we choose to think creates our personal experience, as Lee just focused on. We think positively, we are grateful, and we have the tools to create the best version of ourselves. This, to me, is who I am, and for so many of us, this is who we are. Thanks, Bob, for the opportunity.
Wow, thank you, Karen.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And next, we'll hear from one of our wonderful practitioners, Maya Fuller.
Well, Karen, that was amazing. I feel like you definitely said it all, and it spoke to my heart when it came to that and reminding, you know, just giving us the reminder of what we're doing here. So my answer was pretty simple, but this is just what came to my mind. I said that we're a member center of an international alliance of organizations dedicated to teaching that the inherent good of the universe is available to every person at every moment.
Wow. Thank you so much. And last, but certainly not least for this morning, Judy Ailey, who's been a part of this as long as I have. Judy and I were in ministerial training 1,000 years ago together, and she doesn't look it, but I do. So Judy is still a practitioner with us and has been all along. So thank you so much. And Judy, what's your thoughts about this?
My thoughts are pretty brief. But I think of this as that we are in a teaching that is non-resistant, that we allow spirit to express through us. in greater and greater ways, as love, as peace, as joy, as health, and that we are in our center, in our individual lives, we are here to focus on where we want to go, where we want the world to go. And we are here to transform our lives. And as we do that, we transform the world into a more loving, peaceful, generous, just beautiful place to be. So our center is a part of that. And so are you, and so am I. And that's who I am and who we are.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, all three of you. And I wonder if that triggered anyone else's, like, oh my gosh, I'd love to be able to say so-and-so. If it did, you can't get to the raise hand, but under reactions, you've got a little hand down there. Wave at us, and Vance will unmute you and let you speak for just a moment or two about who are we, perhaps what this has meant to you, how it has changed your life, whatever you move to say. And I'm not going to wait very long because we don't want a lot of dead time here on Facebook. Ah, Lee Huffman, would you like to speak up? I think you can unmute yourself.
Yeah. Well, what I think when I think of this community specifically at CSL Midtown is that we are a community that supports each other and that we're there for each other. Not just the practitioners, because the practitioners are there all the time for everyone. But I know I have a lot of friends that are not practitioners that have been supportive and have really come around me to help me with things. And I want to do that for other people. So that's what I see this community as.
Wow. Thank you. Well, when I first walked into a religious science center, which at that time was the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, which is our predecessor. This organization grew out of that organization through a couple of other doorways along the way. But many of us here are continuous from those days. But when I first walked in, I found a place that felt real and authentic. And I don't remember what the minister said the first day I was there, but there were two things that caught my attention. I felt completely at home and welcome. I was free and able to sit with my partner at the time with complete acceptance and no wiggling or squirming or making sure we weren't giving anything away. And in fact, when we looked around the room, there were quite a number of us there. And then the other thing that happened was I was also very skeptical of any kind of new spiritual teaching because I was kind of burned out on teachings and spirit and any of that at that time. So I I heard him say several times that this strange thing, spiritual mind treatment, was could really make a difference and change your life. And I thought, well, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on this. So I bought the little pamphlet on the way out the door. By Raymond Charles Barker that says how to do a spiritual mind treatment. And I thought, I'm smart enough to do one of these. So I went home, I wrote a treatment based on that pamphlet. I wrote it about having a chronic since adolescence problem with sinuses, with sinus drainage, sinus stuffiness, and for years had not breathed through my nose without medication. And I was so tired of it. It was so annoying. It had just been an annoyance in my life for so long. And I wrote a treatment. Didn't really know quite what I was doing, except I was going to try this. And I got all the good words from the pamphlet. I wrote it out, and I started doing it every morning. And about 4 weeks, 5 weeks later, realized that I hadn't taken any medication in quite a while, and I was breathing through my nose just fine. And I said, okay, there is something to this stuff. I need to get back here and understand it. The other thing I experienced that first day was recognizing that I had been looking for there's some kind of philosophy, some kind of teaching behind, you know, that I felt like Christianity was pointing to, Buddhism is pointing to, Hinduism is pointing to, and that when we all get tangled up in the stories about all of those. They're wonderful stories. I'm not putting any of it down, But I kept having this feeling that there's something underneath and behind it all. And then that was the other thing I felt when I walked in the door, is that this was it. This is that behind. This is that philosophy that underpins and stands behind all of the religions. And when you begin to understand it, then you can look at those religions through different eyes and different ways. And for many, including myself, it has made all of, you know, my previous religious experiences and religious life stronger and more meaningful, because I have a better idea of what it could be and how it should be, perhaps in my case. So this teaching was life-changing for me. I went from struggling around finances to being able to, within a couple of years, have a whole different experience with money. I went from being chronically ill around my sinuses and lungs to no longer being chronically ill with those things. The change happened, and it happened because of what we use now as a slogan, and you know, which anytime you sloganize something, you start using it that way, it can sound trite, but it was anything but trite. And that is, change your thinking, change your life. Because that's what I did. I changed my thinking. And I had huge guidance and help through classes, through practitioners, through others who supported me in changing my thinking, and changing it in such a way that it would create greater living, greater freedom, and greater life. And I love the way we've each expressed how this was and what this means to each of us. There are some very basic ideas about who we are. We mostly base our teaching here around the work of Ernest Holmes and other of his contemporaries and later, many, many later teachers as well, who carried the same kind of theme or basic construct. The irony is we call it New Thought, and it is, because it's all put together in a new way, starting in the last century, in the 1880s or so, some of it a little earlier than that. And yet, the basic philosophy comes from the ancient Greeks, from Greek idealism. And you find many of these ideas embedded there. When you start thinking about what is the concept of the higher power, and the highest power, I love the way you said that, Karen, because that idea comes, interestingly, not from Christianity, but from the ancient Hindu and pre-Hindu teachings of Upanishads. So we have this is New Thought and ancient teaching, because it's taken these ancient teachings and found the similarities, put it together into a new way of talking about it. And so we speak of spiritual mind treatment, which we interpret as prayer, but it's a more technical term for prayer. We speak of oneness and unity. And oneness is the core basic truth that we work from, that there is one power, not two or three or six. I grew up in a world of two powers, a world where there was good and evil, sin and Satan on one side and salvation and Christianity on the other. Even though it's inherent in Christianity that there's only one God and one power, that got lost for me in the everyday talk that came from that. So I lived in two worlds, two worlds, pulled between two worlds. And you all know, you've all experienced it. We all have that, with the little devil and the angel on our shoulders. Like when I'm getting this pull at 10 o'clock at night to go eat a chocolate bar because I'm really craving something sweet and cute and all that. And the one side is saying, yeah, it won't hurt you. This time won't hurt you. And the other side saying, yeah, right, but this is not a good time of night to be eating chocolate and sugar. But, you know, chocolate, how can you say no to chocolate? That's a gift from God, you know? Well, in a oneness teaching, which this is, and where there's oneness, there's a sense in which none of that is wrong. It's not, the two little characters on your shoulder are not there because one is representing an evil force in the world that is a very, the very essence of a power. Rather, it is just our inner chit chat back and forth deciding what is the best path for my highest and greatest good. So when I said the road to success is lined by many, many appealing parking places. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about that the road stops or there's two different roads. There's not an all one or all the other. In this teaching, there's only one. One love, one light, one life. And we are all part of it. We all come from and are part of. We come from that one source without going becoming separate from that one source. So I look at the world and this community, where you're together, we are working and learning and studying and considering and contemplating, looking at the world through the eyes of oneness instead of two eyes of two-ness. And sometimes it's hard to do. We've got a lot happening in the world today where there seems to be two sides and they're fighting each other and there's conflict and there are people doing horrible things to one another, and there always have been. That's not new, by the way. It's just our version of it right now is pretty intense. But with the eyes of oneness, we're looking beyond that struggle to what's behind it underneath, what's really going on here. And I think what's going on here is that so many things in the human race and in the human condition and that humans have been experiencing for eons are no longer hidden. They're now showing up loud in our faces, and they've been pushed down and pushed aside, and whoever the winning group was kind of got there to say their word, and the others got shushed up. But now we're hearing from all people and all perspectives, and we're learning how to deal with that, and it's not easy. Because some of it breaks out into violence, some of it breaks out into arguments, some of it breaks out into all sorts of things. But what we're doing is we're wrestling with how do we see one power at work here and not two? And how do I find my place in the world today, given what appears to be two powers at work? That's what this community is dedicated to. Because the belief and the knowledge that one power is all there is where the real power lies. It is that knowing that opens us up then to receive and be part of that power for good, that celebration, that opportunity to embody our own lives or bring into our lives those things which enhance and expand and express the life that is in flow, in congruence with that one power. It's kind of like, you know, we're in this great stream that's flowing, stream of life. And as we travel through this stream of life, some of us, myself especially, maybe for a big part of my life, thought upstream was the only way to go. That you just had to go upstream no matter what. So if everybody else said, you know, blue is blue, I'm saying, no, it's not, that's green. I'm going to go this way. And I kept pursuing that because I thought if I don't do that, I'll get lost. I'll get swallowed up. And then I discovered that going with the flow of oneness is the easy way to do it. Therein lies the health. Therein lies the prosperity. Therein lies the ease of goodness. And I don't have to give up anything about the truth of who I am. One of the joyous things about this teaching, when I walked in the door, I heard loud and clear, we are not asking you to check your mind at the door. We're not asking you to give up your logical, conscious, scientific thinking in order to understand faith, in order to understand surrender and going with the flow and living a life of fullness and richness. Now, I have to tell you, some of the things I heard here when I first got here put me in a bit of a quandary about that, because it sounded a little like I had to give up my brain in order to buy into it. But when I didn't, and I kept asking the questions, and I kept looking within, and I kept asking the questions to people around me, yeah, but how does that work? I began to hear answers that made sense to me. And I'm saying that because that's a big part of who we are as a community. This is a place where we can struggle with these things. This is not a place where you're invited to come to when you have it all figured out or when you have everything in order in your life. You know,
unfortunately, there are times where people are having challenges and they don't want to show up because they think they'll be judged for being, you know, not having everything figured out and sorted out and being in line with the oneness. Well, the whole reason we're here is to keep realigning with the oneness, because we live in a world that tells us all the time, there are two, be afraid, be scared, be angry. And then we come back to, yeah, but we don't have to be afraid or frightened or angry or any of that in order to live richly and free and still be fully conscious and cognizant of what's going on in the world around us. We just stand in a different place. Because of my background, I was, as you many of you know, I was a minister in a different faith, in a Christian faith, before I came into the science of mind. And I often have biblical images that flow through because they're just for so much part of me. And I keep thinking of Daniel in the lion's den. You know, it's kind of like being in this teaching of oneness and this community of oneness. We are standing in the lion's den, and here's all this stuff going on around us that we think might eat us up. But if you stay clear and focused into what is the one teaching, the one idea, the one power, the one spirit, then the lions don't even touch you. They end up, you know, I don't remember now how the story goes exactly, but I know they don't hurt you, they don't bother you, they don't act at all, most like they don't see you there. And that's what this teaching can do. You know, we're built on love and law, and if you know that, you may have noticed that from our Declaration of Principle, which is what we believe, and it's more than just what we think we believe with our heads. The Declaration of Principle and all of the principles we work with are much bigger than that. They are the opportunity for expression. They are what we believe and what we act on and what we build our lives. This is a philosophy, but it's also a way of life. And it's a way of life built on that philosophy. So the first part of that, of our Declaration of Principle is there's one power. The second part of it is we believe this power is perfect love. So love and law is how we live our lives. It's the balance between love and law. They are both there. They are equal. They are present all the time. They're so important. They're so necessary. Love is that passion, those things you care about. Those things that you wake up in the morning and think, I can't wait to live today because I get to enjoy and experience these things. You know, and the law is that part of how love works that follows certain patterns and certain methods that we can learn and we can learn to work with and learn to experience in a better way. You know, human beings were far better off when we learned how to work with gravity. Till we did, it was kind of messy, I'm sure. You know, we knew it was a power, we knew it was a force, something was sticking us to the earth. But then we learned about gravity. We learned how to handle it and work with it. And as we learned to do that, we learned to fly. Oh my gosh. We aren't defying gravity, we're working with gravity when we do that. We're balancing gravity and other forces in the universe. And that's how spiritual law works. It's learning to love in ways that allow us to express and to live freely and joyfully and lovingly. So love and law, we balance back and forth. You know, and the core of that is the idea that what is happening on the outside has within us already images of what needs, what is, how life is. There's a philosophy, there's a psychology actually in called object relations theory. And in that, the whole idea is that children learn by experience things, and therefore they create internal objects, mental, spiritual objects that represent what we've seen and learned on the outside. And that's what we, and so as we, what we know in this teaching is that for everything happening on the outside, there's an internal mental image called a mental equivalent that. And if we really want to change our experience on the outside, we change our mental equivalents. Well, the way to change your mental equivalents, we're back to change your thinking, change your life. It works so simply, and yet it is not simple to do. Because changing our minds, especially from deeply held old beliefs, can be really challenging. because we have to face our fears. We have to decide whether those things we experienced in childhood and later are still the truth for us. And we get to decide, do we want to keep it or not? So there, you know, thank you, Lee, for bringing up gratitude, because gratitude is one of the most powerful practices for staying in line with seeing the oneness. In all things, be grateful. Not for all things, but in all things. Find something to be grateful for in the midst of whatever chaos you're going through. This center and this teaching, whether you're experiencing it here or elsewhere, and it has many iterations, not just in Center for Spiritual Living, but in many of those places, in all of those places, it's finding that idea that will go click in your head and you go, wait a minute, that's a better idea. That's a different idea. Jesus said, it's done unto us as we believe. Not because we believed or when we believe, or if we can get ourselves to believe, but as we are believing. So if things are happening, as they are happening, it is happening because as you are believing it, it's showing up. So then the issue, it's the old, if you want to lose weight, don't try to polish the mirror or get a concave mirror so that you look skinnier. That doesn't change your weight at all, but it may change how it looks. We cannot polish the mirror to get ultimate deep down change. We have to change our thinking from within and change those mental equivalents, change those ideas so that they become rich and beautiful. In 1996, I was in Tampa, Florida. I was just started my ministry in Centers for Spiritual Living, had a small center there. And I, along with some other friends, were participating in a gathering of about 6,000, 7,000 people, totally changed the landscape of Tampa. We gathered from all over the world. There were, in the opening session, we were in an auditorium that barely could hold us all. There was standing room only, and there were speakers on the outside. And this very, very dignified and graceful woman stepped up to the stage. We were a gathering of gay and lesbian courses from all over the world. We came together to sing to one another and sing to the community. And each group, there were thousands of people. And Maya Angelou stepped up to the microphone and she began our opening by saying, I am a lesbian. I am a gay man. I am a survivor on the Pacific Rim, catching my fish every day. I am a woman of color who is held down and pushed back, but never stopped. I am a businessman in the streets of New York. And she went on and on down the list. And when the crowd stopped cheering long enough to hear the rest of her I ams, and realized that what she was declaring, that we are one and that we are all connected to everyone and everything in some way, we were all in tears. I get choked up thinking about it now. This amazing woman who started out in a horrible situation in childhood and through some pretty rough times growing up. If you've not read any of her books, I highly recommend it. And it was, and in spite of all of that push from within, that push for life to express fully and richly, was so strong and so well expressed and defined that she became the poet for the country. She wrote amazing things, and her consciousness was unbelievably expanded and rich and wonderful. And embracing of all people. That expansion, that embracement, that growth is available to every one of us. we have many of the tools that will get you there. So I invite you to consider joining us if you're not. I invite you to consider continuing this, sharing this with other friends and other people. I'm wearing my colorful bow tie today to represent the fact that we are multicolored folk. We are all from all walks of life, all backgrounds. You know, the gay movement did not start the rainbow idea. The ancient Jews, carry it forward, and it's in many of their temples and synagogues because it represented God's promise never to destroy the world again. And it represented the Rainbow Coalition. And then there was another Rainbow Coalition that was part of a kind of a hippie movement. And then it became part of the expression of the beautiful multiplicity of gay, the gay, lesbian, LGBTQ, and on it goes, movement. We are one, and yet we are a multiplicity because that's the ultimate expression of multiplicity. So I invite you to join in consciousness with us and in celebration, because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. One of the things we teach and part of being free to allow spirit to move through us with power and with goodness and with ease is the recognition that life unfolds with in ways that it is a constant flow, it is a constant circulation. So we teach classes on prosperity. We learn how to, despite what's going on in the world around you, just like David, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, we're able to still live in a prosperous consciousness, a prosperous world, a prosperous opportunity. So I invite you to consider with us in this time, if this has been a meaningful time for you, if you've heard something that changed your life, if you are wanting and loving this community and wanting to continue to support it, go to our website. There's a place there to contribute. There are opportunities there to support the community and support who and what we're about there in this time and in this place. So I invite you to, if you will, join me then in our affirmation that we do each week on prosperity, and consider clicking on that wonderful place. So here's what we say. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. That is the truth of who we are and what we're about. And so, because we live in a joyful, abundant universe, and it's because we're made of the joyful, abundant universe, then prosperity is naturally ours. So thank you for that. So now, moving on, we have some announcements as we wrap up today. Coming up in September, our theme is Facing the Fear. Today wrapped up our monthly our theme this month. So we're now moving into Facing the Fear. And next Sunday will be A Question of Faith. I'll be speaking. And it's also our Sunday celebration to have our coffee together. Normally when we met in person, that was coffee day. Karen is grateful because you have to make your own coffee now. And she doesn't get to bring it to you. But we're grateful she was doing it all that time. So get your coffee. Come back after we're done. We'll take about a 10-minute break. And then we're also going to do presentations of the people who have earned certificates in our classwork for the last year. I'll have a list of those. Those of you who are on those lists, you'll be getting an email from me just telling you what you received. And we'll also then share it with the whole group because we want to celebrate. These people have put time and energy into knowing and understanding this teaching for the purpose of making their own lives better. But as they have increased and brought greater good to their lives, they are bringing greater good to all of us at the same time. So Tuesdays, we still have our online spiritual empowerment sessions. which is an opportunity to come together, discuss whatever you want to talk about, and then we'll do, then we do treatment at the end for all that has come up. It's the same ID in Zoom as this one. And also starting, not starting this week, but coming up in the future, and on September 16th, we'll be launching the next class. An email went out about it this week. So the next class is entitled, actually it's entitled, the official title is Mental Equivalence, but it's really Activating Your Potential is what's going to be going on in that class. We're going to look at what your potential is beautiful and wonderful and necessary, but potential never, if it just stays potential, nothing ever happens. Whereas changing our thinking allows us to to activate that potential into real life experience. And that's what this class will be about. It's this 5-week class. It will be a Wednesday night, 7 to 9, or Wednesday morning, 10 to 12, for those who prefer a day class. The cost, if you register before the, I think it's the 9th of September, it's in the email and it's on the website. The cost is $169, and after that, the cost is $199. So, take a look at it. If you want, if any of this idea of growth and expansion has captivated you, you may want to consider one of those classes. Now, because the class isn't to learn about anything, the class is to learn and experience these principles and bring it forward and change your life. You get a lot from our Sundays, but you'll get more by participating in the classes than anywhere. So if anyone needs a or would like to have a payment plan or has a just a real challenge, let me know. We are always here to support and help you do what we know is in your highest and greatest good. So we will do that together. I think that's it. I want to thank all of our volunteers. You know, one group of volunteers that's not getting to do much right, do their usual thing, are the greeters and ushers. And they, you know, they're used to greeting you and hugging you and giving you the chance to not hug them if you prefer. I mean, all of that every Sunday. And it's been, 4 months now that we have not had that. They haven't had the opportunity. So they got together for dinner this last week and hugged on each other because it was like, I think, and they may have done elbow hugs. I wasn't there. I'm not sure. And it's a good thing because, you know, so we're a community that does gather at times now. Even though we are not gathering as a whole community for, obvious reasons. And so find a place to participate. You spot someone on this call, text or chat with them really quick and connect. Find a way to get connected and stay connected with people because we all care about you. So if you will join me in our closing, which is our affirmation of life. And it goes, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I'm grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. So the gift is given, which is life.